Mark chapter 6, and we'll read one verse there, then we'll read some others in just a moment, but let's stand to our feet and read verse 52. Verse 52, and it was last Sunday morning that we preached out of that about the Lord, about Him worshiping, about the disciples worshiping the Lord, and now we come here in Mark, and we see the same story we talked about last week, and then Jesus makes a statement here that to me is very, very alarming here in chapter 6 of Mark, verse 52. He says, "For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." Let's read that again. This is astonishing. That word is used a lot in Mark. Amazing. That word is used a lot. Verse 52, once again, "For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." Father, we come to You in the name of Jesus tonight. We are grateful, Father, for all that are here tonight. And Father, we desire that more would be here, but it wasn't what it ought to be and what it should be tonight. And so, Father, we thank You for just allowing us to sing the songs we sung and the testimonies given tonight, and Father, the Word of God that's already been read, and Father, this morning, Lord, how that You don't forget, You remember. Father, we are to tonight have fear of God into our hearts tonight. We are to fear You. And Lord, as we look into that fear tonight, Father, we see another statement that Jesus made concerning His disciples. And Father, we're just like the disciples. Father, they were men. We're men. Tonight, God, they're no better than us, and we're no better than them. Father, they had to be born again. We have to be born again. Father, we have to follow the Lord. They had to follow the Lord. And Father, we find tonight, God, that You said that their heart was hardened. And we pray tonight, Lord, that our hearts are not hardened. We pray, God, that if there's something wrong with us tonight, it won't be that. And we ask You to search us and try us, and God, that You would look down deep in our hearts and our lives, and Father, that You'd reveal to us if there's anything wrong. God, that You'd show us tonight so that we can, dear God, be filled with Your Spirit and live life as life ought to be lived in Christ. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to say tonight that I want to preach on a thought tonight about revival. And I see that's what maybe the disciples needed here, because their heart was hardened. And so the thought is tonight, the first of all I want to bring to your attention is the condition of the disciples. And I thought tonight, I said, what condition is my heart in? Tonight, what's my condition? If I could give someone a summary, or maybe give someone what my heart is tonight, is it on fire for God? Is it excited for the Lord? Is it something that I am burning with God? Am I just the light that's burning bright tonight? Or am I hardened? Is my heart hardened tonight? And is it cold tonight? Is it warm tonight? Is it have I left my first love? Am I just pushing through the day that I go through? Am I just rushing my life through, trying to get to another spot or another phase in life? Lord, where's my heart tonight? What's my condition? See, that's what my thought is tonight. And on me personally, now you choose today what you're thinking, but my thought is if the disciples' heart is hardened here, and then how and where is my heart tonight? Is my heart with You? Is my heart in tune with God? Is my heart in the right place tonight? Is my heart tonight willing and ready to make change? Is my heart tonight ready to hear maybe a rebuke, or maybe a instruction, maybe a correction tonight? Am I humble tonight? Do I have an humbled heart? Am I submissive tonight? Am I really doing as God would have me to do? Am I willing tonight to hear from heaven and address my heart, the condition of my heart? And so we find the condition of the disciples' heart tonight, as we read in verse 52, is their heart was hardened. Now my next thought is this, is how could it be? How could it be the disciples' heart was hardened? I mean, they're walking with Jesus every single day. Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, the living Lord, the one tonight that has already performed so many miracles in chapter 1 to chapter 6 already. And you'll find over 35 miracles have been recorded in all the four Gospels. And you'll find that the Bible says that all that Jesus did cannot be recorded because all the books in all the world wouldn't contain all that He ever did. And here's these people, here's these men. They're just men of fishermen and men of Levi, as one that was just one as a tax collector, a publican, and of different sorts and different minds and different intellects and different raisings. And now they come to follow Jesus, and now the disciples are there. And Jesus said about His own disciples, their heart is hardened. How? How? How could that be? I mean, they're walking with Him physically. I mean, they're there watching and seeing and everything that's going on there up there. They're seeing things they've never seen before. They're working with Jesus. I mean, they're there seeing people sick who are healed. They're seeing people full of the devil. Now the devil's cast out. They're seeing people like the maniac of Gadara running around naked, cutting himself, crying day and night. I mean, up in the tombs, down in the mountain. I mean, they're all around. And all of a sudden, he's sitting next to Jesus in his right mind and clothes. Man, that is remarkable. They've seen Jesus just not too long ago walk on water. I mean, how can the disciples tonight, their heart be hardened? How? You say, well, how can ours? How can our heart be hardened? I mean, listen, friend. We come to church three times a week. We have a Bible that we can read every single day. We have a God that asks us to pray to Him every single day. We have a God tonight that's available all through the day. We see God in our lives. We've seen how He saved us and changed us. We see how He provides for us. We see His goodness, His kindness, His blessings. How can we get hardened? How could they get hardened? To me, it's mind-blowing to understand how the heart is hardened. But what does that mean, though? So we got to understand tonight the heart. What is the heart? When Jesus said that their heart was hardened, what portion of them was hardened? Well, no, He said the heart, right? But what is the heart? Tonight we notice that the heart would mean that what was hardened in their life, the heart is the center and the seat of spiritual life. See, when your heart is hardened, that means that the seat in the very core of your spiritual life is now hardened. That's your heart. The heart is the center of your spiritual life. Tonight, if you're right with God, your heart is right. Tonight, if you're walking with God, it's because your heart's walking with God. Tonight, if you are submissive and you're humble tonight, and tonight there's a willingness in your life to just obey God and be faithful to the Lord, tonight just to follow Him no matter what, that means that it's your heart. The central core, the very center of you tonight is your spiritual walk. We know that. It's not our physical life. Our physical's dying daily. Amen? It's our heart tonight. It's the very place, it's the very spot, it's the very center and seat of our spiritual life, and that's what the heart is that Jesus is speaking of His disciples. He's saying to them, hey, physically you're doing fine. Emotionally you're doing fine. Your eating is fine. Your abilities are fine. Your smart is fine. All about your facilities are fine, but your spiritual life is hardened. See, we're all fine everywhere else. We got our families, we got our finances, we got our cars, we got our houses, We got our days, we got our fun times, we got our entertainments, we got our pleasures. We're not lacking one bit, especially in America, and especially here, especially amongst us. Tonight, we have everything we ever wanted. We got more than we ever thought of. We got closets full. We got garages full. We got attics full. We got pantries full. We got refrigerators full. We are full, amen? And we can buy more if we need to. We have got it made. Everything's good. But Jesus is saying that the very faculty, the very center of your spiritual life is your heart. And it's hardened. Whew. But how could that be? I mean, they're walking with Jesus, watching Jesus, working with Jesus. It would seem that if you and I could be back then, and you and I could actually touch Jesus and actually hug Jesus and actually sit down and listen to the words of a man that preached and taught with an authority, actually come to Jesus and be right there and watch Him actually raise someone from the dead, actually take somebody that was blind and made him to see, and deaf and made him to hear, and one that couldn't walk and now he can walk tonight. I would think tonight that our faith would be greater. Not so sure though. Tonight we have excuse, maybe. Well, you know, Jesus is on the right hand of the Father and we're down here and we're in the ugly side and He's up there and it's a spiritual thing. It's not a physical thing and it just seems to be harder down here to live for Jesus. It's just harder down here to ask God to forgive you of your sins, to make things right with one another, to get clean with each other, to get clean with God, to get rid of sin, to stop sin, to put away sin, to put off things tonight. And we say tonight in our spiritual walk, our spiritual life, that, you know, it's just difficult. But with the disciples, they were there with Jesus physically, but that didn't guarantee them to have a spiritual life. They were hardened. Tonight we may be doing everything right. We may have everything going on good for us. We may have our lives in order. We may be financially supported. And we might be tonight physically strong. And we might have our things together, our ducks in a row. Oh, but tonight, how about spiritually? Tonight, the core, the center, the seat of spiritual life. That's our heart. Tell you what our heart is tonight. Secondly, it's the fountain of our heart. What is the fountain of our heart? Meaning, what comes forth out of our heart? The fountain of our heart is our thoughts. Our thoughts. Our passions. Our desires. Our appetites. Our affections. Tonight, you think about those things. Let me just read them again. And our thoughts, our passions, our desires, our appetites, our affections tonight. Those things there, they're just in us, aren't they? I mean, we're not going to get up in the morning and say, okay, tomorrow I have an appetite for barbecue tomorrow. We don't know that. Tomorrow we might get up and have an appetite for spaghetti. Right? So we don't go today and say, okay, tonight I'm not going to have a thought about this. You don't know, thoughts just come. Right? Passions just come. You say, why do you have such passion for a gun? I don't know. How come this guy has a passion for a gun? This guy has a passion for a knife. And this guy here has a passion for a fishing pole. I don't understand that. Do you? Why is different passions? We don't ask and say, okay, when I grow up, I'm going to have a passion for a gun. That doesn't work like that. So where does all that come from? The heart. See, the heart is the one that has the fountain of every thought. Every thought you have runs through the heart. Every passion you have runs through the heart. Every appetite runs through the heart. Every attraction runs from the heart. Every desire runs through the heart. Amen? And we find tonight that Jesus is saying to His disciples that your heart, your fountain of life, your fountain of your heart, your thoughts, your passions, your desires, your appetites, your affections, of your purposes, and your endeavors are hardened. Man, that's hard to take. Amen? It's hard. You're doing the right thing. You're in the right place. You're offering the right things. It's not that we're robbing banks and killing people and taking drugs and getting drunk, looking at pornography and telling lies tonight. It's not that we're in adultery or fornication, and we're not for abortion, and we're not for homosexuality, and we go through all of that stuff, and all the vice, and all the depravity, all the world tonight. That's not where we are tonight. Where we are tonight, spiritually speaking, Jesus is saying, your heart, the fountain of your heart, your thoughts, your desires, your cravings, your desires tonight, and the things that you purpose and the endeavors of your life are hardened. Spiritually. Hardened. I don't want to be hardened, do you? There was a time in my life where I thought being hard was a good trait. There was a time in my life when I thought being hard and just being a man was the way to go. I thought one time in my life being hard with preaching, hard preaching, was the thing to do. I found out in those years that it's not so good. The Lord's not looking for hard. I don't know of anything tonight that the Lord says be hard with anything. He says, be humble, be submissive. Amen? That's what I'm talking about tonight. And so now we find that these thoughts, passions, desires, appetites, affection, purposes, endeavors, which is the fountain of your heart, Jesus is saying to the disciples, they're hardened. And then he says, the third thing that a heart is, it's the facility or the faculty of the heart tonight is understanding. The faculty of the heart is understanding. See, we think tonight that we understand with our mind. No, our understanding is our heart. How we understand. The faculty of our heart is not only standing, but it's intelligence. Some people say, you know, when you talk about things, you talk about things and you talk about things. And you start listening to what people say and you start listening to what people, how they respond and how they answer. You say, well, I can understand their intelligence. How are we understanding their intelligence? Because of what they're saying. We say, well, they have a bad mind or they got a little mind or their mind is not very good. No, it's not the mind at all. It's the heart. See, tonight your intelligence is your heart. Your knowledge tonight is your heart. Your understanding tonight is your heart. Your character, your will tonight is your heart. Jesus is covering a lot of area when He said of His disciples, the heart is hardened. So what is that? Your spiritual life. Your desires, your thoughts, your cravings, your endeavors, your purposes. Your will, your character, your understanding, your knowledge, your intellect is all hardened. You ever find people tonight and that they were living a certain way and all of a sudden they don't live that way any longer and you try to talk to them and they just don't get it? You ever been there before? Children are that way. You raise up children in the house of God. You raise up children teaching them the Scripture. You raise up praying with them. You raise them up that God is the only way. Jesus is the answer. And then when they get out of the house, they go astray. And then you try to talk to them and say, what happened to that relationship with Jesus, with God? Hey, man, don't talk to me about that. That's my own personal life, you know. That's what I decided not to go to church no more. And it's all about not going to church. Somehow, some way, we equate that walking with God is going to church and not walking with God is not going to church. And tonight there's more about walking with God than going to church. Amen. And it's about you having this spiritual life. And Jesus said of His disciples that your heart is hardened. So that's the condition. My first thought tonight is this, is Lord, examine me. Is my heart hardened? Is my spiritual life hardened? Is my thoughts, my passions, my desires, are they hardened? Lord, is my will, my character, my understanding, my knowledge, my intellect, is it hardened? Is it, Lord? My will, my character. I want you to notice, secondly, tonight, that is the heart is affected But I want you to notice when the heart is defective. That word hardened there, it means to be petrified. And what Jesus is saying that your spiritual life is petrified. Your thoughts and your passions and your desires and your appetites and your affections and your purposes and endeavors, they are petrified, hard as a rock. Your understanding, your thought process, your will, your character has now become petrified. Hard. You're not hard as a person. You're still loving. You're still giving. You're still going around with a smile on your face and you'll give the shirt off your back. And you'll go the extra mile and you'll turn the other cheek. And you'll do great for your family. And you'll love your children. And you'll respect your spouse. And you'll go to work every single day and be the very best worker. You'll give your taxes to the government. You'll give your tithes to the church. You'll teach your class and sing your song. Oh, but you're petrified. You're hard. Your spiritual life is just like this. The feelings, passions, cravings, affections, endeavors and purposes are just hard. I just can't feel it anymore, Lord. Coming to church, I just can't feel it no more. Hearing the Word of God just don't touch me like it used to touch me. The people of this church just does not have that affection for them any longer. Just don't feel no connection anymore. Huh? Songs. Just don't used to. When I get in here and get to singing them songs, I used to start feeling some life and start feeling some joy. Just don't feel that no more. You're petrified. Oh yeah. Everything else is good in your life. Everything else is perfect. But your spiritual life is hardened. You have a find a place where you just become hard. Didn't want to. Didn't ever desire to be here. I really don't want to be hard. I really don't. I can't understand some things because you're hard. I just can't. I can't get some things. Intellectually, I just can't. I get these because you're hard. I mean, the will of my character. At one time, I was concerned about my testimony. I was concerned about my example to everyone else. But now, I just don't really. It's not that I don't care. I'm just hard. The word also means hardened. It means rendered stupid. Rendered stupid. And I know tonight that if you take that word stupid and you would say to somebody, you're stupid, that was very offensive. I understand that. I'm not calling nobody in here stupid. I'm not calling myself stupid. Stupid is not something that I'm saying that anybody is tonight. But according to the word of being hardened, you've been rendered stupid. In other words, when it comes for you to have love for your brethren, you become stupid. When it becomes you to have a desire to see somebody saved, you get rendered stupid. You read the Scripture and you won't know more of the Scripture, but your heart is hardened, you just get rendered stupid because you just don't have that intellect or that understanding. Just don't get it. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm not saying you don't love God. I'm not saying that you're striving to be all that God would have you to be. But friend, when you get your heart hardened, you get rendered stupid. That's what it means. Tonight, and boy, I tell you, I don't want to be stupid. I don't think you can help stupid, can you? I mean, they say that. They say that all the time, that you can't help stupid. But friend, if I in my life spiritually, I don't want to be rendered stupid. I mean, tonight, I have the Holy Ghost of God in me. And when He gets quenched and when He gets grieved tonight, then my heart gets hardened. I get stupid. Does that make sense? We do stupid things. We make stupid decisions. We make stupid choices. We created a conflict that was not a conflict because we just are rendered stupid. And Jesus is saying to the disciples that y'all have come to the place where you just rendered stupid. Thirdly, the meaning is tonight, it means considered callous. That word hardened there means to cover. Your heart is covered with something. It's calloused with something. Something you have allowed in your Christian life, in your walk with God, a callousness. Something is blurring your vision. Something is dulling your hearing. Something is disconnecting your heart to heart with other believers. Something has done got in where you're no longer engaging in the house of God. You are just going through the motions. Just going through. Pushing. It's not a joy. It's not exciting. Hardened. Hardened. We say tonight, the condition of the apostles or the disciples tonight, they are hardened, their hearts. I don't want to be hardened. God, if there's a prayer that I can pray tonight that would bring to my heart attention, it would be, Lord, if I'm hardened tonight, take away the hardness. I don't want to be hard. I don't want to be hardened. I do want to be sensitive. I do want to be in touch. I do want to feel. I do want to have a connection. I do want to be part of what's going on in your spiritual life. I want to be involved in all that's going on in everything that God is involved in tonight. I know we get discouraged. I know that we get distraught. I know that we get angry. I know that people disappoint us. I know that people tonight will bring a hurt and bring a pain in your heart and a suffering. Oh, do I know that? 22 years of pastoring a church, I've been hurt so bad, so deep, that sometimes I wonder, why am I still doing it? Why do I put myself in that place to be hurt once again? Why? It's almost self-inflicting. But when you get hard, you want to quit. When you get hard, you want to excuse yourself. And when you get hard, you want to withdraw and you want to pull out. And when you get hard, you want to just stay away and you want it to all go away. Oh, but whenever your heart is not hardened, you'll find that you want to get in. You'll gather. You'll be part. You'll grieve. You'll pray. You'll seek the face of the Lord. You'll look down deep in your heart and find any wicked way within you. And then you'll pray for those who despise you, who hate you, who talk about you, who've brought contention to you. The Bible says, love your enemies. Pray for those who despise you. Amen. We find tonight the condition of these disciples. Can I say secondly? Knowing I notice the condition of the disciples, but I notice the consideration of the disciples. Jesus is saying there in verse 52, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves. And the reason why they didn't consider the loaves, because of their heart was hardened. We talked about that. But I want you to talk about the consideration now. The consideration of the loaves. That word consideration means to bring your thoughts together. It means like tonight, if you are looking at a car or looking at a house or looking for something to buy, you're considering some things. You're considering this, that, or the other. And so you're trying to put all your thoughts together. You're trying to put everything in line and what's good with that, what's bad with that, what's the good review, what's a bad review, the cost versus the warranty. And so you're putting all this stuff together and it's all coming together. And so you're saying, I'm considering marrying. I'm considering joining. I'm considering buying. I'm considering joining. I'm considering to be employed. So all you're saying is, just, I'm putting it all together. All these thoughts, all these things that have to be in the equation of making a decision and making a choice, I'm putting it together. And Jesus is saying about the disciples that they didn't put all of it together. And the reason why they didn't put it together, they didn't consider the miracle of the loaves, is because their heart was hardened. Let me talk about this miracle here, then we'll close tonight. I don't think I'll finish, but that's okay. The miracle of the loaves. I want you to notice in verse 34, the Bible says, "And Jesus, when He came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion towards them, because they were as sheep having no shepherd. He began to teach them many things." Now I want you to notice tonight, do they really have the heart of Jesus, these disciples? Jesus is looking at these people. Jesus is seeing them as sheep. He's seeing them as with no shepherd. He's seeing them as one who has no leadership, no guidance. They have no one to care for. They have no one to provide for. They have no one to protect them. They are out in the midst of wolves. They're out in the midst of harm. I mean, at any time, at all times, these poor little sheep can be devoured. They could be ripped apart. They could be taken down. And yet Jesus is looking at them and saying, "Oh my, oh, compassion has gripped my heart tonight over this group of people who are as sheep who have no shepherd." So you think if we're going to be Christians and the disciples are followers of Christ taking up His cross, tonight you would think that they would be walking side by side with Christ, right? But look what they say. They wouldn't have compassion for the people at all. Jesus has compassion, but they didn't. He says, "And when the day was now far spent, the disciples came unto Him and said, 'This is the desert place. Now the time is far past.'" Okay, Jesus, you done taught a whole lot, and we've been here for a long time, and there's a lot of people here, and I know You have compassion for them, but send them away. Send them away. The people that You have great compassion for, the people that You have great love for, the people that You have great concern for, just teach them the Bible and then send them down the road. See? They wasn't in touch. They wasn't at all in a spiritual life at all thinking about the sheep. They're thinking about them. How often do we do that? How often tonight do we just get them out of here? We're hungry, Lord. Man, give us something to eat. And then look at verse 36. And they may go into the country round about, into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. So with Jesus, with compassion, right, He looks upon them, and in His mind, in His heart, He's thinking, okay, I'm going to preach them the Word of God. I'm going to teach them the things of God. And then they have nothing to eat. They've been here a long time. I'm going to feed them. Not the disciples. Not their hardened heart. Hey, Lord, let me give you some instruction how to handle these people. Let them go to their villages, and let them go to their cities, and let them go to their homes, and let them get something to eat. That's what they said. Just an example of what it means to have a hard heart. We find compassion for the people, but then I look at verse 37. Look what I notice. I notice Jesus not had compassion for the people, but Jesus command for the people. He said to His disciples, He answered and said unto them, "Give ye them to eat." That was a command. I know you want to send them away because your heart's hard. I know that you want them to go to the villages and let them go to their homes and let them buy themselves bread and let them fend for themselves and let them do what they're going to do. And I know they're hungry, but you know what? Everybody gets hungry. Everybody needs something to eat. So go defend for yourself. Go find something. Get out of here. Jesus said, no. Give them something to eat. Wow. What a Lord. When everybody else is throwing you away, Jesus said, give them something to eat. When you're hungry and nobody's there to feed you, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things Amen? And His righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. Hey, listen. Jesus is one with compassion here. Jesus is the miracle of these laws. He commanded the people to give them something to eat. And look there in verse 37. It says, "And they say unto Him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? He saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see." So Jesus is saying, I'm fixing to do a miracle, but I never do miracles with stuff I don't have. I do miracles with stuff I do have. In other words, I take something that I have and turn a miracle. For example, I take water and turn into wine. I take water that is raging in the sea, I put it together and I walk on it. That's what I do. And so He said, what do we have? They said, I tell you what we have, Lord, in verse 38. And when they knew, they say 5 and 2 fishes. In other words, they have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. That's all they have. 5 and 2. We find that Jesus says to them in the way of another commandment, He commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when they had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, He looked up to heaven. He blessed, He broke the loaves. He gave them to the disciples and set before them. And the 2 fishes divided He among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of fishes. And they did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Now, it doesn't mention the women, but there was women as well. So we would say there's 5,000 men. Maybe there's 5,000 women. It don't say anything about the children. There was children there too. And so I would say there's probably 5,000 children. 5,000 men and women, 5,000 children. That would be the low end, wouldn't you think? More husband and wife have more than one child, especially in those days with that culture and how the being of the Jew, and they have multiple children. And so you find minimum of 20,000 people there. And Jesus takes 5 loaves of bread, little barley loaves, and 2 little fishes. He says, okay, we're just going to bless it, and we're going to divide it, and we're going to feed everybody. And they fed everybody, and everybody got full till they couldn't eat no more. They picked up the fragments that were left, carried 12 baskets full. Over 20,000 people were fed. Is that a miracle? Is that something tonight that we just know of all the time, we see all the time? He says to his disciples, He said, you know, you didn't even consider the loaves because your heart is hardened. You know, tonight, Brother Chris, I guess he still is, I don't know, is going to teach on this Bible someday. It's not an easy thing to teach on. I'm excited about it. I hope he does. But if you have a Bible with you tonight, and you're looking at it and you're holding it, you don't really know tonight of the death of many people that you had a Bible in your hand. You don't really know the blood that was shed. I'm talking about real blood. Real people died so that you could have a Bible. Is our hearts hardened? Do we not know that of all that took place in having a Bible? All the plans that God set forth? All the plans that God put with people like King James? All the arrangements was made? All the uproars of that day? All the accusations of people? Of all the 7 men of 7 groups and 7 places? Putting together all that the Word of God has tonight. God said He has brought down forth. We know it's inspired, but He said He has preserved it. How God has preserved it through all these years. In Psalm 68:11, He says He's published it. And tonight He's published it. How many dollars, how much money, how much blood, and how many people? And from 1611, back in 1611, we're in 2018. And you got a Bible? Don't mean much to us. If we lose it, we got to go buy another one. But we go day from day, week to week, without looking at it much, without studying it any, without trusting in it, without making an application of our lives. Or is our heart hardened? We're not considering the miracle of the Bible. Think about your salvation. It was a miracle. How could God save someone like me? How could God break through my pride, my arrogancy, my ego? See, but we just go on day after day, and the miracle of salvation, we're not even considering. Amen? How about the considering of life? Your children being born. That's a miracle. And yet we just kind of pass that on. We just let that go. My child. God gave me a miracle. As a mother, bringing forth life. And then we don't raise our children in an admonition and the nurture of the Lord. And we don't read them the Bible. We don't pray with them. We don't teach them the things of God. They don't get a whipping. We don't correct them. We let them wear what they want to wear, do what they want to do. They say no to you. They cuss back at you. They don't do their chores. They don't do their work. They don't mind. They don't do their homework. They don't do whatever they want to do. And what do? We reward them by buying them clothes and buying them things and letting them go out with the friends and letting them do all they want to do in the rebellious state. What is the matter with us? Maybe we don't consider the miracle. Their hearts hardened. Miracle of this church. The miracle of this church. I mean, it's just not given that we have a church to go to. Do you know how many people throughout the history has died for the church? How many people from the day of Christ coming through Constantinople, Constantine, and all the big Catholicism at that time called universal, and all the people that died who were on the side of Jesus rather than the side of Constantine? And how through those years and through those times have come through and come up, and how all this other religion and all this other mindset and other Bibles or so-called Bibles have come in play, and how today that you and I could come in 2018 on 211 Brand Lane and be in an independent fundamental Baptist church preaching the King James Version Bible, singing the hymns tonight is a miracle! I could be a Muslim tonight! You could be a Hindu, a Buddhist, Jehovah's Witness, a Mormon. You could be a Catholic. Tonight we could not be part of what God is. And I'm here as a Baptist by conviction tonight because I believe what the Baptists believe and the doctrine in which they preach is true and right. Of the money that was put into this church, the time, the prayer, the tear, the labor, the work. 1978 was it started, and 2018 is still going. A miracle! Most churches don't last but 5 years. Most preachers don't last but 3 years. Pastor of 22 years, a church with a great history, still here, paid for, and ready to serve, and ready to preach, and ready to do for God. Do we come to a place where the heart hardened? And we just don't consider the miracle. There's so many things tonight that we can talk about. But Jesus said, listen, fellas. In verse 1, we find that Jesus cast out the demon. I mean, chapter 1, He cast out the demon. Chapter 2, we find that He took a man with a withered hand and made it like white as snow. Chapter 3, He took a palsy man and he was walking. Chapter 4, He raised the dead. Chapter 5, we find that He healed. In chapter 6, He came to him and He walked on water. And yet He said, I just got through taking 5 loaves and two fishes, feeding over 20,000 people. And you're out in the middle of the sea, and it's rocking a little bit, and you're dying, and I'm walking up to you, and you don't even recognize me. And if I didn't say something to you, I would have walked right past you. Why didn't you consider the loaves? Because your heart is hardened. Why don't you consider tonight? I need tonight just what I heard. As I stand to my feet, as we stand to our feet, as we just think about what God has done and the miracles that I haven't even mentioned that are miracles tonight. And somehow, some way, we just become dull to it. Become callous with it. Rendered stupid. Petrified. Oh, God, help. Help our church tonight. Help your people tonight. Unheard of, I guess. Day in and day out, month after month, year after year. Jesus was in His wonders. Jesus doing His works. As Jesus was doing that, sinners were amazed. The religious crowd was angered. And the disciples become apathetic. Wow. Help us tonight, Lord. If you need to come tonight and pray, won't you come now? If you need to be saved tonight, won't you come and just say, Lord, I just need to be born again. I've never felt connected. I've never felt like I was different. I was saved. I was changed. Oh, I went through that religious. But Lord, I've just... But you might be saying tonight, no, I'm in a rut. I'm in a routine. My life is just seem to be doing what I'm doing because it's just something to do or something that I've always done. I have no feelings toward anything. I've got no emotions toward anything. I don't care if people like me or they don't like me. If I talk to people, if I don't talk to people, if I come to church, if I don't come to church, if I live, if I don't live, it don't matter. Listen, I'm numb. I'm numb to this. I'm numb to this spiritual life thing. I'm numb to it. Oh, tonight I'm used to it now. I'm used to it now. I can go before I needed God. Before I needed a touch of the Lord. But now I don't. How about you tonight? Some have come. Would you come? Let's just pray down heaven tonight. Let's ask God to open up our hearts. That we may be sensitive again. That our hearts tonight may be touched by the hand of God. Oh, we need help tonight.